What wondrous love is this? A beautiful tune to lead us into this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome you into this hour of worship. Whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary, the Spirit of Christ keeps us united and connected as we worship together. I'm glad to welcome folks who might be worshiping with us for the very first time. I've had a chance to meet some folks who are here in the sanctuary for the first time. We hope that you feel welcomed and feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place. And if you're joining us online for the first time, we hope you get a sense of who we are as a congregation and how we are trying to live out God's love in the world. I'd like to invite everyone to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads that should start in the center aisle. And if there are some visitors on your row, they may not know how this works. So if you'll send it all the way back down and back again. And if you are visiting and would like to know a little bit more about this congregation, we invite you to share an email address or a mailing address, and that will help us get the conversation started. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register online. Just a couple of other announcements as we gather together on this second Sunday of Lent. During the season of Lent, we have concerts at noon every Thursday and lunch afterwards. There's information in your bulletin about how to RSVP for lunch, so we hope you'll come this week. Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye wanted me to let you know that there are two spots left on the Guatemala mission trip, and that trip will take place at the end of May, early June, and we'd love to have a couple more folks going. So if you'll find Stacy or send her an email, she can tell you more. And finally, I just want to invite you to mark your calendars for Wednesday, March 22nd, in the evening. We are going to have a gathering for supper and storytelling. We'll have our regular Wednesday night supper routine, and then we'll go up to the Fourth Story Theater. It's part of our 150th celebration, and we've invited lots of folks of lots of different ages and experiences to come and share some of their West End stories. So we hope that you'll be part of that great gathering. It will also be live streamed as well. As we continue through Lent, we continue to listen in to Jesus' conversations with people as he proceeded through his ministry. And today, he meets Nicodemus. And we invite you, as he invited Nicodemus, to open himself to the Spirit, to open ourselves to the Spirit in this hour of worship.
Oh. We gather to hear a love story. Jesus reveals God's love and mercy.
Jesus calls us to be born of the Spirit.
May our worship renew our sense of calling.
May our worship honor the offer of love.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we might not love you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. A lesson from the Gospel, the book of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with the children. If you're here in the sanctuary and you want to come forward, it's communion, so we have this rail here, and you'll have to go all the way around this way. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, and we'll share a special moment together. Good morning. Everybody knows how to do it now. Y'all are smart. You learn quickly. Good morning, good morning. Good to see you. While everybody's coming to take their seats, I'll ask if any of you were outside on Friday and felt the wind blowing really hard. Did any of you see it or feel it? Yeah, I did too. Lots of trees fell over. Yeah, I was on a walk and I saw my neighbor's limb go cook. Yeah. It was really something, wasn't it? Yeah, I bet everybody out here has a story to tell, right? Driving to my car and a tree was across the road and boy, the wind was so strong. But you know, yeah, and it was fun because you could feel the wind on your face. But you couldn't really see where it was coming from, right? And we couldn't quite see where it was going. You know, Jesus talked about wind in the Bible passage that Miss Irwin just read. Jesus was saying, you know, there's some things about wind that can help us understand God a little bit better. Because we can't see God, but we can feel God sometimes. And we can see signs that God is working in people and in the world. Like when you look at a tree and the wind is blowing, put your arms like this. You can see the wind is blowing. You can't see the wind, but you can see the tree moving, right? So sometimes we can see people doing loving things and kind things and courageous things, and we can see God is moving in their life. And Jesus was saying, you know, if we look with the right eyes, we can see God everywhere. And you know what? I see God in you. And I saw God yesterday when so many of you were at the great day of service. There were people there and they were painting and they were cleaning and they were helping people. And I could tell that God was with us. So next time you're outside playing and you feel the wind blowing on your face, imagine that's God just touching you on the cheek and saying, I love you. And next time you see somebody doing a kind thing, think about, that's God moving in that person. Let's pray together. Gracious God, there are lots of things that we don't know about you. We have lots of questions. But we do know that Jesus taught us that you're love and that you love the world and that you love us. So help us to see when you're at work, just like the wind, we can see the signs and to believe that you're moving in the world and you're moving in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for sharing some of your stories. If you're 3, 4, or 5, you can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Molly. And if you're older than that, you can go back to sit with parents and friends. As I mentioned earlier, as we make our way through these next few weeks of Lent, we're going to be making our way through the Gospel of John. And we're going to be overhearing these different conversations that Jesus had one-on-one with different kinds of people. And one of the reasons I was so excited about preaching these lectionary texts from the gospel is because of the variety of people that Jesus encounters. All sorts of people that Jesus engages with in conversation. Next week, we'll meet the woman at the well, a Samaritan woman, who, by all rights, Jesus should not have been speaking to her, and yet he did. And they learned from each other, and she became the first evangelist in Samaria. We'll meet a man who was born blind, who was also marginalized by his community for different reasons. We'll see Jesus engaging with his dear friends, Mary and Martha, as they're struggling with grief and asking questions of Jesus. I haven't quite decided yet what to do on Palm Sunday, but I'm thinking we're going to listen in on a conversation Jesus had with Pontius Pilate, a politician and a representative of empire. So we have men and women, rich and poor, powerful and powerless. And in our first conversation that we overhear this morning, we have Nicodemus, a Pharisee, whom John describes as a leader of the Jews. Now, by this description alone, we know that Nicodemus was someone with a very sophisticated education. He was a deep thinker, a theologian. He was looked to by his community as an authority on the scriptures, on the holy life, an authority on the law. He was used to being the man with the answers, most likely. Given his position, he was someone of privilege and prestige. Relatively speaking, he was probably a wealthy person in his community. And yet John tells us he comes to Jesus. I think when we look at Nicodemus, we see someone who is a bit conflicted. Because he has this position of power. And there are many of his peers on the high council, on the Sanhedrin, and other leaders of the faith who don't like Jesus at all. Now, John's gospel tells the story of Jesus' life a little bit differently than the other gospels. And in John's gospel, one of the first things Jesus does when he steps out in public ministry is go to the temple and turn over the tables. In the other gospels, that happens toward the end of Jesus' life, but it's at the beginning in John's gospel. And so already he is on their radar. And he's got a target on his back for some because he has threatened the authority of many. And so there are likely those around Nicodemus who want to get rid of Jesus and want nothing to do with him. But Nicodemus, it seems, wants to talk to Jesus. He seeks Jesus out. He's curious about Jesus. Maybe he's heard something about Jesus or he's seen some of the miracles and signs that Jesus has done and he knows this is somebody from God. So he goes to Jesus, but he goes at night. He's got a lot to lose. If he were seen talking with Jesus at night or talking with Jesus anytime, He could lose his position. He could lose his respect in the community, lose his authority, become an enemy of his peers. And so he sneaks in, and he goes at night. Now, we're going to dig into this conversation just a little bit between him and Jesus and see how Jesus responds to Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus begins the conversation, not with a question, though. I found it interesting that Nicodemus, who is so used to being a teacher, so used to being a spiritual expert, starts off with a statement of knowledge. "We know," he says, although who's we? Is it just Nicodemus, really? But he's saying "we," so it makes him more, gives him more authority. Or are there perhaps others? Joseph of Arimathea, maybe? We'll meet him later. Maybe some of the other religious leaders who are also seeing something in Jesus that they want to know more about. We don't really know, but Nicodemus steps up and says, "We know that you are a teacher who comes from God, for no one can do the things you do apart from God." He's admitting here that he sees God at work in Jesus, but he's not willing to ask a question. But Jesus takes it from there, and he takes Nicodemus on a wild ride. What may begin as a meeting of the minds, maybe Nicodemus just wants to sit down and talk theology, well, Jesus takes him somewhere he was not expecting to go. Jesus says to him, "No one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born again, unless they are born of water and the Spirit." Now, Nicodemus is totally confused by this. As we hear in his response, he seems to go literal. Wait, someone has to be born again? You have to go back into the mother's womb and be born again? Now, this is not something that just Nicodemus does. We'll see this in other conversations that Jesus has. The woman at the well, Pilate will do this, going literal when Jesus is talking about something much bigger and broader. Nicodemus doesn't understand yet what Jesus is saying. But Jesus seems to be inviting Nicodemus to consider that he needs to unlearn some things, that he needs to go back to being like a child. Those of you who practice meditation or contemplation may have heard the phrase, the beginner's mind, to go back to the beginning, to go to a place where you don't know the answers, where you're not sure, where you're not the expert, and make room for God to surprise you, for God to show you things you didn't know, to work through people you weren't expecting God to work through. Jesus goes on to say, "You see the wind working, right? You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going. So it is with those who live in the Spirit." You got to let go, Nicodemus. You can't manage the wind. You can't control the wind. Nor can you control or manage God. You've got to open up that box and let God be God and strap on your seatbelt and get ready for the ride. That's what I hear in Jesus' words to Nicodemus. But then he keeps going. Jesus keeps talking. He says, "Listen, Nicodemus, God so loved the world that God gave the only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish," or another translation, "should not be lost, but should have eternal life." God loves the world, Nicodemus. Jesus isn't saying God loves the Pharisees, or God loves righteous people, or God just loves Israel. God loves the world. The word here is the cosmos. God loves it all, and whosoever will. There are no boundaries to God's grace and God's love. It's for all. God loves everyone unconditionally, and whosoever will is welcome to receive the invitation. Hear that and remember that, Nicodemus. And not only that, God did not send the Son into the world, Jesus says, to condemn the world, but so that the world might be saved through him. God is not in the business of condemnation. Instead, God is in the business of redeeming the world, healing the world, reconciling the world, saving the world, this world, not just the heavenly world, but this world. Now, after this point, Nicodemus doesn't say anything. He just sort of disappears off the page. And so we don't know if or how he was changed or if he responded to Jesus' invitation. One of the things I love about Nicodemus' story is there's not this immediate transformation. He doesn't drop his nets in the boat and follow Jesus like other disciples did. He has a journey, and we get little glimpses into it, but it still leaves us wondering. We see him again in chapter 7, and he's in a meeting of the Sanhedrin, and some of them are saying, "We need to get rid of this Jesus." And Nicodemus stands up, and he says something kind of sort of boldish. He's still got one foot in his old world of authority and expertise, and one foot wanting to follow the wind. And he says, "Now we don't, our law doesn't say we can put people to death without giving them a fair trial, right?" Scene close. What does that say about Nicodemus? Where is he on the journey? But then we see him again at the very end of the gospel as Jesus' body is being taken down from the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, who's called a secret disciple, whatever that means, and Nicodemus together take care of Jesus' body after death. Nicodemus brings 100 pounds worth of ointment, which is an extravagant amount. And together, they care for Jesus' body, which is something that only close family members would have done. There is also some tradition that there was in the very early church someone named Nicodemus. So maybe Nicodemus followed the wind. The question is, will we? I don't know about you, but there's a lot about Nicodemus that I identify with. I have a sophisticated education. I'm used to being the person in the room that's standing up and talking. Why you all sit there and listen to me every Sunday is still a wonder of wonders to me, but it's expected that I have something to say about the scriptures and about the world that we live in. I carry around a lot of privilege and power in the community. And like Nicodemus, I realize that to follow Jesus means letting go of a lot and losing a lot, and it's risky. And so I hear these words of Jesus, and I understand Nicodemus' struggle. And yet, can we hear the invitation of Jesus to unlearn what we think we know? Even those of us who really feel pretty certain that we know a lot, but to let it go. And to open up to the movement of the Spirit, which comes from we know not where and goes to where we know not where and may move in people and places in ways that we cannot predict or control or manage. The best we can do is put up a sail and go with it. What would it mean for us to embrace this belief that we claim that God so loves the world, that God loves the cosmos unconditionally? And that it doesn't say God so loved the church, or God so loved people who had it all together, or God so loved America, or God so loved this group more than another group, but that God so loves the world, and that God is not interested in condemnation. I'm so tired of the narrative in our world that people think that Christians are just judgmental and narrow-minded and that we really enjoy condemning people right and left, because that narrative is out there and there are people in the name of Christ who are condemning others. But y'all, we have a different story. We have a banner that says God loves everyone unconditionally. We've got to tell that story more loudly than ever. With our banners, yes, but with our words and actions. Because there is a world outside these walls that God loves with all of God's heart. And God is not interested in condemning, but rather is interested in healing the world, saving the world, reconciling the world to God's self, getting us in right relationship with God and with each other and with the planet. There's plenty for us to do. So we don't exactly know how Nicodemus responded to this invitation. The question left for us then is, how will we?
Or in spirit, and join me as we affirm our faith, the story of our faith, number 883 in your hymnals. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website. Or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and pass them and place them in the offering plates as they're passed in a few moments. This morning we celebrate the birth of Joseph Daniel McAnally, who was born on February 26th to Scott and Liz McAnally. He's also welcomed by his big sister, Merritt McAnally. And this morning we remember Linda Sims and her family, who are mourning the death of her daughter, Linda Rickman Ricky Bear, who passed away on February 17th. A memorial service will be held on Monday, March 6th at 11 a.m. at Vine Street Christian Church. We also remember Christina Thompson and her family, who are mourning the death of her brother, John Milton, who passed away on February 22nd. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. We praise you this morning for your great love for us, O God, and for your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we have eternal life. We give you thanks for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives, which sustains us and grants us the gift of new life. Gracious God, we pray for those who are hurting this day, and we ask for your healing. We pray for those who are searching this day, and we ask that you might guide them. We pray for those who are afraid this day. We ask that you might help them to know safety and peace. Oh God, we pray for our world, that our leaders might work for the health and safety of all people. May their actions reflect the love which you have for each of us. We pray for those who are hungry, those who are without shelter, those who are ill, those who are grieving, those who are isolated and alone. May we respond to your goodness and grace by joyfully caring for others, that they might know of your love through our love. We ask all of this in the name of love incarnate, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We now offer ourselves to God through our tithes and offerings. May we give with joy this morning.
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, gracious God, creator of heaven and earth. You brought all things into being and called them good. From the dust of the earth, you formed us into your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When rain fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, you bore up the ark on the waters, saved Noah and his family, and made covenant with every living creature on earth. When you led your people to Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights, you gave them your commandments and made them your covenant people. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of the cosmos, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
May be seated. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When you gave him to save us from our sin, your Spirit led him into the wilderness where he fasted 40 days and 40 nights to prepare for his ministry. When he suffered and died on a cross, you raised him to life, presented him alive to the apostles during 40 days, and exalted him at your right hand. Now, when we, your people, prepare for the yearly feast of Easter, you lead us to repentance and the renewing of our hearts, that during these 40 days of Lent, we may be gifted and graced to reaffirm the covenant you made with us through Christ, who, on the night in which he gave himself up for us, took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Holy Spirit, on all who are gathered in this hour, and on these gifts of bread and the cup, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Join me in the prayer Jesus taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, this is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to you and to me and to the world that God loves so completely. And this is the cup of grace poured out for you and for me and for all, that the world might be healed and reconciled and made new. The table is now set, and our host is Jesus Christ himself. And he invites all who are here and all who are not here to this table. This is not the table of the United Methodist Church or of West End United Methodist Church. There are no boundaries or restrictions placed on this table. Everyone is welcome, and there is a place for you. If this is your first time receiving communion in this particular congregation, just a few words to guide you. We will be coming to the altar rails to receive. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the transept and balcony, and then those of us in the center can come and make your way to the altar rails. Wherever there's an open space, just feel free to kneel and receive. Once receiving, you can stay and pray as long as you would like. If you would come and have your hands open, that will let our servers know that you have yet to be served. Also, if you are unable or uncomfortable coming forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with prepackaged communion elements and can serve you in your seat if you'll just wave to me and make sure we make eye contact. All of our elements today are gluten-free. As we come forward, we always have an opportunity as a congregation to make a second mile gift to one of the missions partners that we have, and our March communion offering will go to support the place where many of us were yesterday on our great day of service, the campus at Glencliff United Methodist Church. As a facet of the commons at Glencliff, it includes the village, the tiny homes, the community garden, Poster Nashville, and other ministries. And this is a mission church in the United Methodist Church, which means they need partners like us to help support and grow their ministries and help them thrive. Your gifts shared today during this month's communion offering will go toward the shared building space to help establish hospitable gatherings and create a justice-centered missions right in the hub of Nashville. So we hope you will pray for them and give generously as you are able. Let us prepare our hearts to receive the outpouring of God's love that we receive at this table. to rise in body or in spirit and join with me in the prayer of thanksgiving. You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves for others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. We have been reminded this day that God so loves the world and wants to be about healing the world and saving the world. May you also know that God so loves you and is in the process of healing you and saving you and me. May we go out from this place to be instruments of God's great love and healing. Amen.